You're listening to All Things Considered here on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Aaron Selbig. If caretakers of the Great Lakes aren't careful, thirsty people from all corners of the world could come calling for our supply of fresh, clean water. So warns the book The Great Lakes Water Wars, which was first published in 2006. The book tells the tales of many attempts, some of them successful, to siphon off Great Lakes water, and it lays out how the Great Lakes could be protected in the future. 12 years later, author Peter Annan is out with a major update to the Great Lakes Water Wars. Peter Annan joins us today to talk about it. Mr. Annan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
A lot has happened since your book first came out, including passage of the Great Lakes Compact, an agreement between all the Great Lakes states and Canada that restricts who can use water from the lakes. But before we get into the present, I'd like to talk a little bit about the past, specifically the reversal of the Chicago River back in 1900. That's still the largest diversion of Great Lakes water in history. You write about it in your book. How was the city of Chicago able to reverse an entire river, and why did they do it in the first place?
If you go back to the late 1800s, you have the Great Chicago Fire torches much of the downtown area, and the city embarks on this process of rebuilding itself, and it becomes this massive million-person city on the prairie, and the sewage system in the city can't keep up with the growth. And so you had open sewage flowing in the Chicago River, you had unregulated outhouses around the city, et cetera, and your big summer storm events would flush all that filth out of the city, including an enormous amount of filth from the massive stockyards that were on the south side of town. So the city became paranoid, and its unsustainable water practices were on the brink of polluting the city's drinking water supply. So it embarked on this massive Panama Canal-like project to divert reverse the flow of the Chicago River. So rather than have that filth flow out into Lake Michigan, they would reverse the flow of the Chicago River with a 26, 28-mile canal, lowering the grade in the upper stretches of the river, and then Lake Michigan flowed into the mouth of the river and down in the canal and ultimately wending its way to the Mississippi River and the Gulf of Mexico.
All of these ideas to divert Great Lakes water eventually led us to the Great Lakes Compact, an agreement that was signed in 2008 by all the Great Lakes states and two Canadian provinces. Tell us about the compact. What does it do?
I mean, essentially, the compact is a legal fence, I call it, designed to keep Great Lakes water inside the Great Lakes Basin. It's a ban on water diversions with limited exceptions for communities that are right on the edge of the Great Lakes Basin line or right near it.
What are some of the recent challenges to the compact?
The most controversial was the Waukesha water diversion, which originally proposed sending 10.1 million gallons of water per day outside the Great Lakes Basin, but returning it. Waukesha's water diversion was controversially heard by the Compact Council, which is essentially the designees of the eight Great Lakes governors. And after 11,000 public comments, public hearings, and long drawn out series of deliberations, the Compact Council approved Waukesha's diversion after reining it in from 10.1 million gallons per day to 8.2 million gallons per day.
Looking back at some of the water diversion issues in the past, I think you could make the argument that Michigan often seems like, one of the most vigilant watchdogs of the Great Lakes. Do you think that's true?
Well, there's no doubt about it that when it comes to water diversions, Michigan has always been the most vigorous opponent to those diversions. And the most vigorous vetter of water diversion applications. And that's because, there's many reasons for that. I mean, Michigan calls itself a Great Lakes state. It borders four of the five Great Lakes. And in many cases, there was times over history where the governor would pound the podium and say there'll never be, during the State of the State address, and said there'll never be a drop of Great Lakes water diverted under my watch, and then there'd be this, standing ovation, that kind of a thing.
What do you think the biggest threats are to the Great Lakes in the future? If you find yourself updating this book again 15, 20 years from now? Do you have any prediction on what types of things might be included?
How petroleum products move through the Great Lakes region is a big issue, especially up with Line 5 under the Mackinac Bridge, which many of your listeners are intimately familiar with. I think that invasive species continue to be a major issue. As you mentioned earlier, the Chicago diversion, I have two chapters on that now, and the second one looks intensively at the threat of Asian carp and other invasive species coming through the Chicago. And then there's always the issue with saltwater shipping and the ballast water bringing in the invasive species.
Peter Annan is author of the book, The Great Lakes Water Wars. Peter, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.